Welcome back. I don't know what song that is, but another week with Bitch I Ain't Scared. I'm Nate the Fool, and I'm here with someone lovely, as always.
Rob the Scala.
Yeah, the one and only. It's been a full month. Got some sprinkles of horror here and there. And we've been having a good time. Well, I've been having a good time anyway.
Yeah, this was a good month. We have definitely some movies to talk about from our last horror night that we had. And also sort of follow up what we discussed last time about Doctor Strange. And then later on, we'll have a guest come on to play Surviving the Night.
Yay!
We gotta kill this bitch this time. We gotta get him.
Mystery. Gotta kill him. Maybe. We'll see. But yes, our last movie night, we watched the brand new Firestarter. What did you think of it, Rob?
So I told myself that I was going to watch the original before this recording, and it sucks. I did not get a chance to watch it, but watching this new one, I already understood the premise. I didn't have much to compare to, of course, because I didn't watch the original, and it was also told that watching the remake before the original was actually better. So yeah. With that being said, this new Firestarter as a standalone, unfortunately, did not tickle my fancy. It just was not as good as it could have been. And I do appreciate the try and the effort. They had nice sort of effects as far as like the gore and some of the kills that they did.
Goodness.
And with Stephen King having been, you know, the creator of these characters, like, I get sort of his tone, so I didn't expect like a full-fledged horror or anything. This definitely was more of a psychological or you know, drama.
Yeah,
I understood what they were trying to do. It's just the execution, unfortunately, was definitely made for television and not theatrical, and I just didn't think it was that great. Sorry. Yeah.
It's just so funny when people say it's giving me made for TV vibes. And I'm
it
like,
is.
You know what that means.
I just don't feel that the writers just went there. They still were kind of holding back, creating captivating characters, a formidable villain to actually go against. And as far as the message is concerned, it's just there's a difference. And yes, this is something that can be played on TV. You create a 90 minute to 100 minute movie to just talk about the ending, and that's it. Everything else is whatever.
Maybe I should just read the book, because this might be a hard story to adapt and actually make scary. It's probably a more intriguing story to read, you know, coming off the page, but this is the third time it's been made. And I don't feel like the other two versions, I heard anyone saying like, oh my God, I love Firestarter. That's Drew Barrymore's best, you know. I've never heard anyone really talk about those before. I think when the original was released in the 80s, it came out and people were like, eh, whatever. Yeah, I don't know if, and it's the idea of being burned alive is not something that I ever want to deal with. But when it's on screen, and it was horrific, I don't know. It's not that scary to me for some reason.
And that's the other thing. I was actually okay with it not being scary. I just wanted some really fun effects and use of powers and a good flowing story to where I actually cared about these people. You know, I don't know about this little girl and the way that they kind of made her. And it was also just the progression on her learning her powers. I think were rushed. So it's just some of the things that they decided to focus the story on just wasn't making sense. I didn't like Zac Efron's father figure character in this. He was a little weird with how he was parenting. But maybe the idea was is that he didn't know what he was doing.
he was.
He didn't have to be the perfect father, but at the same time, it's like, then what's the message? What are we? Well, I don't know what I learned at the end of this, and what was achieved, yeah. or the understanding of people who are different, or whatever. Like, I didn't get any of that. So
maybe the message is everyone is afraid of their child. And everyone is a terrible parent.
Did you like this movie?
I don't know. I don't dislike it, but it's not something I'm ever going to rewatch. The other Firestarters, they're not something that I ever want to rewatch. So I don't know what it is about this story.
But I'll say this. Anybody who's interested in Firestarter but feel that this movie is not going to be for you, I have a better recommendation that fits this entire plot, but it was done so much better, and it's called Freaks. So this was 2018. It starred Emile Hirsch, Bruce Dern, Grace Park, and Amanda Crew, along with Lexi Culker. This is about a father and a daughter who both have powers. They're hiding from the government. They can't use their powers, obviously, in public because they will be found out. And it also has sort of a generational sort of side to it because Bruce Dern plays another person, I believe, who had a gift too. But it was about this father really trying to navigate how to be a good father to his daughter by suppressing her and her abilities, where she's just trying to grow up. She's not allowed to be a kid. She can't leave the house. She can't make friends. All of that is being removed from her life from being a normal kid. And it's like, is the dad the villain? Or, you know, things like it's a drama. It's a little bit of mystery. When I watched it, it was on Netflix. And I don't know if it's still on there, but I recommend watching that over Firestarter.
Is it a little girl?
Yes.
Okay.
Bruce Dern played a man who was in an ice cream truck, if that rings any bells. But the special effects and the use of powers, I think all characters had development. This was done a lot better, and I had hoped for Firestarter to be like that.
Well, look at you, giving people choices.
So there was a theme also for the horror night that we had, and we chose to pick a film that sort of had a theme about mothers because May, Mother's Day. So after a couple of ideas, we all decided to do the 80s film Mother's Day. How original, right? Well, none of us have seen this movie at all, and it has become a cult classic, apparently. So we decided to give it a shot. And I don't know if my lens in 2022 was ready for this movie. It was okay, and I guess I can understand the appeal of why it's a cult classic right now. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous and silly, and they definitely went there. They did not hold back. From a first-person point of view, this movie would be terrifying. I would hate to be in this predicament no matter what, right? Yeah. But when you're watching it from a third-person's point of view on screen, and, you know, you've done horror all your life, it's like this movie is weird. It's confusing. You kind of want a little bit more story behind it instead of just this, you know, just action after action, scene after scene of just like doing whatever it is that they wanted. I read a small review that talked about how this movie is big on consumerism. Because if you notice, so much product placement was in
so
this movie.
So much bullshit in that house.
Yeah. And it's okay. I think that this movie did okay on like the kills and stuff, the whole hostage situation, the suspense and terror and dread of these women trying to escape and this crazy ass mother. But yeah, it's a movie that I wouldn't return to either, but I'm glad that I finally saw it. What did you think of it?
I could have gone the rest of my life without ever setting eyes on that. Yeah, it's wackadoodle, and it was too much for me. So it's a little hard to sort of, you're towing that line, or not even towing that line, but you're straddling the fence of completely campy and off the wall. The three characters, the mother and her two sons, which, you know, the 80s loved to highlight sort of like backwoods crazy people that murdered and raped and pillaged and ate everyone. They didn't eat anyone, I don't think. Or maybe they did. I don't know. I don't know their whole business. But they were just kind of silly for the most part. They were their whole family dynamic was ridiculous. The women were kind of annoying at first, and then once the shit hits the fan, you do feel sorry for them. But, and I left during the worst part of the movie, which is a sexual assault.
And, I mean, you know, every horror fan has their limits, so I get it.
It's just not cute. It's never cute. But I could feel it coming in my soul. I was like, we know that they're going to do something to these women. So, you know, it happened. And so that's probably the most terrifying part of the movie. And I never want to see that on film. So it's like, but then we go right back to like crazy and wacky. And the brothers are like fighting with each other like they're 5 years old. And the mother is scolding them. And it's just, I don't know what to feel, really. And the whole quote unquote jump scare ending, you know, it's like, I think you called it, Rob. And so it wasn't that surprising. So yeah, I've seen it. I'm more knowledgeable now.
And I'll say this, the Mother's Day movie was remade with Rebecca De Mornay. And even though she's not in much, I actually am still a fan of hers. And I felt that the remake was actually more entertaining. Say what you will about that. I think it just really depends on the horror tastes in that you have. Some people love that old school way of doing things and sort of the technical part of just accomplishing a movie like that with special effects and things and even the ridiculousness. But I felt there was more a cohesive story with the mom and her sons and the way that even though she is kind of crazy cuckoo and dealing with mental illness, the way she handles motherhood, there was more of a cohesive story to understand what was going on. And there was a clear villain, clear sort of protagonist, and mixing those up. So I prefer the remake over the original.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out. Cause I do love Rebecca De Mornay, the hand that rocks the cradle always.
Last week we wanted to come back and sort of give Fear Bias's official sort of label on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Do we think that this film is a horror film? Nate.
No. Overall, no, I do not think it's a horror film. However, oh baby, it is laden, chock full with horror things. I jumped quite a few times. There's some jump scares. Even the one I was like, is there about to be something in the dark? I still jumped anyway, even though I had this thought that it was coming.
IMDb actually classifies this as adventure, fantasy, action, sci-fi, and horror. They did add the label to horror.
Look at them throwing that in there.
And I guess it's just to kind of be safe that there is horror elements in this movie.
Right.
Nate is correct. I would classify this more of a fantasy before horror if we had to pick one. There are definitely horror elements in this movie. And I remember the way that they were advertising it is that this is MCU's first horror movie. I'm sorry, it's not. It has horror elements. It could be labeled as one, but it is not a horror movie. Definite jump scares. The gore is a little bit amped up from Infinity War and Endgame. Sam Raimi gave us our first set of Spider-Man movies, right? But if you do know Sam Raimi, he's also known for, you know, Evil Dead, Drag Me to Hell, and that sort of thing. And a lot of people will probably associate this film more towards his horror side than his action comic book geeky side.
Yeah.
And there were tons of references to Evil Dead in this. And I'm not mad about it, even though I'm not really a huge fan of Evil Dead. So, but I knew the references when I saw them and I appreciated them. There was a scene specifically, it was a little bit of a chase scene, and the combined with the music, the camera angles, and the way that this character was being portrayed at the time of in this movie, spot on horror. Like this, there was a clear vision on what Sam Raimi wanted to do when asked to put horror elements in this movie. I think he did such a fantastic job. And, you know, if he was to still keep it out of the R-rated or make it too scary for kids, for me, I think he did a wonderful job.
It went in a direction that I didn't expect it to go. Not even the horror, just the story itself. I was like, oh, okay. I really did not expect all of this. But if you're a small child, you probably will be scared. I think I can see young children being afraid. Maybe that is for parents to watch out for. But also, you know, toughen your kids up. It's fine. If they can handle... I'm a terrible person. But, you know, I mean, lots of kids' movies are scary, too. Shit. If you didn't watch 80s children's movies, then you're a wimp.
So there's our opinion on Doctor Strange.
So without further ado, I think it's time to get into the main course of the day.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Fear Buyers Emporium. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Harry Harbinger. It's a pleasure to eat you. Oh, do excuse me. To meet you. You will find that I have an extensive array of artifacts and antiques acquired over quite some time. Each one has a unique story. Tell me, which one speaks to you? Interesting. The Jiffy Popcorn, America's most popular snack. Do you like scary movies? If so, this story will hit too close to home. It's about a man named Michael who loved two things: horror movies and pulling pranks on anyone who was an easy target. He lived in Woodsboro, California, home to the infamous Ghostface killer. One devious prank went a little bit too far, and it caught the attention of the wrong individual. Michael soon learned that between his duo of dastardly delights dwelt the danger that drew ever nearer.
Player two of Surviving the Night, we welcome Michael. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi. Oh my gosh, so excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I canceled a bridge game just for this, and my bingo, you know, every Sunday. Oh.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, for everyone who is new to the show, Michael has been invited to play a horror trivia game created on this show called Surviving the Night. He will have to answer 12 trivia questions based on one of, if not his favorite horror film. And Michael, before we get started, I want to ask you, I'm the scholar, Nate is the fool. Out of our five trope characters from a slasher film, what would you say you fit best under?
I'd probably say the slut. but who's humble about it, you know?
Yes. The whore slash ethical slut. A very sex positive character. No, if you watch the movie X, Michael, you will see characters who embrace their sexual side to a very high standard and positive, no shame. Things have changed. It's awesome. And it's a great movie, too. So I definitely recommend that. But nothing wrong with being the whore.
It's true. I
love it. Quick rundown. The jock, the whore, the fool, the scholar, the virgin. These are your friends, and you're trying to get them to survive the night with you. But the game master will be trying to take them all out one by one. So from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., you'll be answering 12 questions. That's one question per hour. If you manage to get just the virgin to 6 a.m., you win. And the rest are bonus. But if everyone dies, you lose. So when you answer the questions, just make sure you declare a final answer. You can talk it out as much as you want, but just declare your final answer. Answer correctly, you'll advance to the next hour with all the members. Get a question wrong, you lose a member of your friends. And the kill order, it doesn't matter right now. You can choose whoever you want to go. As for the players, we have Billy the whore. Guess he's the sexually positive ethical slut. So his ability, all of your friends have abilities that they can use to help you along the way if you choose to do so. Billy's ability, through allure and distraction, he'll get you a hint to the answer of the question. Next we have Tatum the jock, because she'll fuck a bitch up.
She will, especially with that lollipop.
She's strong, she's a leader, she's a shield, and she's also kind of a dick. But she has the ability through brute strength to force the game master to try a different tact and allows you to change the question. So if you don't like the question that we ask, you have the opportunity to switch it to an alternate. No additional abilities can be used on the substitute question, though.
Yep, you're on your own.
Next, we have Stu the Fool. He's silly, he's random, he's a goofball, he's a risk taker. And his ability, he's unpredictable, so he gets you multiple choice questions. So you can change it to multiple choice. And actually, you're in luck. Today, you have the scholar in the studio with you, Rob. Rob, he's intelligent, he's sensitive, he's loyal and a team player, and he's a hot geek. His ability, he can decipher and decode, and he gets you a 50-50 shot on the correct answer.
Given that I'm also going to be a part of this, I also get to talk it out and help you with your 50-50 as well. So,
okay.
Yes. Now, last but not least, we have Sydney the Virgin. She's pure. She's innocent. She's a strong survivor. And the Virgin, she has to suffer before dying. She'll get you another chance to answer the question. And you can use those in any order you want. Let's see. And you picked rated R. So with that being said, in the first three rounds, the first three questions, you can't use any of your friend's abilities. You're on your own.
All on your own, yeah.
Okay.
And you can't advance to the next hour until the question is answered correctly.
So you could be stuck on question three the whole time, lose all of your friends, and die. So,
and you can pass on a question if you've already attempted it once. But one of your friends will be injured, which means they'll no longer have their ability. They'll still be alive. They just won't be able to help you later. Got it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, Michael. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. It is 6 p.m. We are at question number one. How many phone calls does Casey receive?
Wow.
You motherfucker. Okay.
What?
That's a good question because I don't know it either.
That's a really good question.
I'm going to have to think about this.
I have to go through this. I'm going to go through the script in my head now. This is hard. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have an idea, but this is so hard. Do you have an idea, Rob?
I do, but I can't help you.
I know, yeah, I know. I'm just trying
to... But I do have an idea, so
I didn't think this one would be that hard. I'm sorry.
Dude. Are you serious? Hell
yes,
yeah.
I'm serious.
That woman hung up on that man so many times.
And everything, and I hear all the lines, but I'm just like, what? Did she hang up before this? Did she pick up? You know. Okay, I'm gonna guess, and I'm gonna say five times.
That's your final answer?
Yes.
That is Incorrect.
No!
Fuck! That was my guess! Oh my gosh.
Seven? Is it seven?
No. Oh.
No.
Wait. Oh my God. First of all. Oh, this is horrible.
I'm shook.
Okay. Yes. So you got it incorrectly. So unfortunately, you do lose someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's up to you on the type of abilities you want to keep. So I would just go from that. Who do you want to sacrifice first?
I'm going to sacrifice Tatum.
Oh, poor Tatum.
Tatum, the jock. Aw, okay. So you have lost the ability to change the question should you not like this one. Mm-hmm. Now you can attempt to try and answer again, or if you want, you can pass and sacrifice another ability of one of your remaining friends. If you think you know it, you can try again.
I'm going to go with a different answer.
Okay. Oh
my God.
And okay. For the best. If it's not five, I'm gonna go with six.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes!
Oh my God, I was gonna say four. Okay, I need you to go through this, Nate. What were the calls?
Mm-hmm. So the first call, you know, I think you have the wrong number. It happens, take it easy. Calls right back. Why'd you dial it again? They got 900 numbers for that, see ya. Starts making her popcorn. Yep. He calls, you know, why don't you want to talk to me? And then they do the whole movie bit. And why do you want to know my name? Because I want to know who I'm looking at. And then she gets freaked out and hangs up. So that's three. As she's walking back to the kitchen, he calls again. What do you want? Dial someone else, okay?
That's the one I forgot. Damn!
That's the one. She's like, yes. And that she just answers yes. At that
yes.
One? Okay.
Yeah. And then she goes back to the kitchen. Listen, asshole. Then she runs to the door. She's really freaked out. And she hangs up. And then she's like, I'm going to call the police. And then the phone rings. And that's the sixth call.
I missed that one little quick one. The fourth call. Damn. Okay. Great one. Okay. Good job, Michael.
You've made it to 7 p.m. Question number two. Finish this line. You should never say who's there.
Don't you watch scary movies? It's a death wish. Oh, wait. Okay, there's more. There's more, but how far do you want me to go? Okay. Don't you watch scary movies? It's a death wish. Might as well go outside to investigate a strange noise or something. Is that how far we're going to go?
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
You're correct.
My God, you had him give you a monologue.
I know. I was like, wait, how far are we going?
That was a one-man show. Jeez. Okay. Great job. Okay.
You've made it to 8 p.m. Congratulations. Wow. Question number three. After some on top of the clothes stuff, Sydney playfully refers to Billy as what?
Stud bucket? Okay. And she's like, okay, stud bucket. Yeah, I'm gonna say stud bucket, final answer.
That is correct.
Yee. Wonderful. Wonderful work. I love this. I did not pay attention to that. Great job.
Congratulations. Thank you. You've made it past the first 3 hours after getting over the initial shock of the evening. Now you and your friends have come back together and you can use the remaining people's abilities to help you out. You have arrived at 9 p.m. Question number four. Daniel Harold Rowling, the serial killer who originally inspired Kevin Williamson to write Scream, was also known by what title?
I've told many people this and I can't believe it's escaping me right now. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, the first thing that came to my mind was Grimmsville Reaper, so that's what I'm going to go with. The Grimmsville Reaper. Final answer.
That is incorrect.
No! No!
Who are you going to sacrifice?
Okay, I'm going to use Sydney's ability and answer the question again. I think I know it.
Okay, what do you got? What do you got?
The Gainesville Ripper. Final answer?
You are correct.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah!
Grimm's just sounded off, but I'm like, I will let you do your thing. And then immediately Gaines came up in my head.
Yeah.
So I was very happy when you said that.
Whew. Oh my gosh. Whew.
You did it. All right. You've made it to 10 p.m. Question number 5. According to Stu, how long did he date Casey?
Oh, no. Yeah, for like 2 seconds. 10 seconds? 2 seconds? Shit. Oh. I'm gonna go with 2 seconds. It just sounds okay. I'm gonna go 2 seconds, final answer.
Final answer. You are correct.
Okay.
I thought it was 5 seconds. Wow. Okay.
You'd be dead, Rob.
Yeah, I would be dead. Jeez. Okay. Go ahead.
Congratulations. You've made it to 11 p.m. Question number 6. Tatum's numeral shirt is an homage to which horror movie character?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know his name, but it's from Nightmare on Elm Street, Johnny Depp's character. Is the character name important? I need to know the character name.
I mean, the question is, which horror movie character?
Does he have like a white boy name like Clint or something? Kurt? Okay, I think for this one, I'm going to use Stu and do some multiple choice.
Multiple choice. All right. So, again, the question. Tatum's numeral shirt is an homage to which horror movie character? Is it A, Ned from Friday the 13th, B, Billy from Sleepaway Camp, C, Glenn from A Nightmare on Elm Street, or D, Chris Hargensen from Carrie?
C, final answer. Yeah. That's all I needed.
Yeah, I know. You are correct.
Clint, Glenn.
Yeah. It's so funny when you said Clint, I was like, it's pretty close. It's like the Lint. Yeah. Is it a white boy name? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, congratulations. You've made it halfway through the night.
Oh my God.
We've arrived at midnight. Question number 7. How many times does Ghostface appear in broad daylight?
Twice. Outside of the house and then at the grocery store. Final answer.
That is incorrect.
Really?
So sorry. I was hoping you would think of that other. Okay.
Oh, no.
You have to sacrifice someone. You still have the whore, the scholar, the fool, and the virgin. Now, the fool, you've already used their ability, so most likely that would be the person to get rid of.
Okay, yeah, the fool. I will get rid of the fool.
Stu has died. Oh, so sad. Same question. You can try again, or you can pass, lose another ability, or you can use an ability right now.
I'll do 50-50. Who's that one again?
You have activated Rob.
Okay.
Rob the Scholar is here to help.
All right. What is his 50-50 choice?
So your 50-50 choice is 4 or 3.
Okay. Now that I thought about it, it's definitely 3. I feel like.
Okay. So. I haven't really been doing too well with this quiz so far, but here's my thing. You definitely got the 2 locations, but our principal was killed in the daylight. And so that would be my 3rd of him showing up in broad daylight.
Okay.
If there's any other one, and I'm trying to think if there is a 4th, but those are the only 3 that I can think of.
Okay, I would like to. Okay, now that I've thought about it, and
do you think there's a 4th there somewhere, or was that
there is a 4th.
There is a what was it?
The restroom.
The restroom. That's right. Oh my God, I forgot about the school.
Yeah, and then you said the principal.
The principal, like, oh. Yes, when he died, that was during the day.
Yep.
So yeah, then it's four then. See, my God. Right.
Four, final answer. That's it. That's the one. Lock it in.
Locked and loaded. You are correct.
Good job, Michael. My God. I totally forgot about the bathroom.
I totally forgot about the principal. So, yeah.
It helped, yes. And you kept me alive. Thank you. So, unfortunately, I cannot help you any further since we've used it. But, no, I'm glad that I was helpful.
Yes.
You've made it to 1 a.m. Question number 8. Which character was originally not killed?
I guess, okay, I keep thinking way too hard about this, but I think I have it. I'm gonna go with Stu Mocker.
Final answer. That is incorrect.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, so you have to sacrifice one of your three remaining friends, the Scholar and the Virgin. Now, the Virgin has to stay. So, the Scholar, I believe, has to be the one to go.
So, I'll get rid of the Scholar, and so I'll say I'll get rid of the Scholar, and I'd like to use the power of the whore.
I love it. Oh, okay.
I'm getting that on a t-shirt.
Right.
So your hint is jukebox.
Principal Hembry, final answer.
That is correct.
Did he like want to die? Like what? Did he like pitch it? Like why?
No. So I think the studio was like, hey, we have this long stretch of time in the middle of the movie where nothing really happens. No one dies. We need to kill somebody. So then Kevin Williamson was like, oh, great. This kind of helps me at the end of the movie too, because you kill him and then they're like, oh, he's been killed. He's hanging from the goalpost. And all the kids, you know, wanted to go see his body. So that was able to remove the rest of the non-essential characters to finish up.
Now I thought that was essential, so he was actually my first pick. I thought that it was the principal, but I was like, no, they needed him to get rid of everybody in the house, so this doesn't make any sense. So that makes sense. And I think I read something about that whole long stretch, like, we got to get a body, because that murder is so out of place. It's just so out of place. It makes no sense.
I mean,
but in the grand scheme, I get it.
You know, commentary on, like, everybody hates their principals. You're angsty 90s teen and, you know, it was right on brand.
Good job. Okay, well, it seems that you've used all of your abilities, so you are now on your own for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. But you still have your friends, Billy and Sydney. But they'll be upstairs fucking, so.
Where are they?
All right, you've made it to 2 a.m. 2 a.m. Question number 9. Besides Jamie Lee Curtis, which actress is referenced more than once in the film?
There's two people that I have in mind, and I'm trying to figure out if they're even said twice or just once. Okay, yes, I have it.
What is it? What is it? What you got?
Meg Ryan, final answer.
You are correct.
Yes. I was like trying to figure out. Okay.
Interesting.
Meg Ryan is, Dewey says it, and then she says it at the end when she's talking to Billy, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So I had Sharon Stone, but I don't think she was mentioned at the waterfall. They just talked about Basic Instinct.
They do say Basic Instinct.
But
yeah.
they call her out at the end. So that's what was in my
tricky
head.
Tricky.
Very tricky. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But yes. So good for clarifying. You're right. Meg Ryan's the only one who's mentioned by name more than once, besides Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, because they are like fanboying over her. All right. Congratulations, you've made it to 3 a.m. Question number 10. What is the pattern on Gale Weathers' headband?
You're asking the wrong gay.
What? How dare you?
I wish I could Google names of patterns. And the only pattern I could think of is like gingham, but there's no gingham. I don't think it's a gingham.
All right, let me rephrase. No? Okay.
No, this is his. No, this no. is it. This is demise. Fine. I didn't know she wore a headband. This is bullshit.
What do you mean this is bullshit?
I don't remember a headband. This is so crazy.
There's a headband. I mean,
it's in the you're talking about the party, in the party, right? She wears a headband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole moment where Dewey takes it off before they make out.
I thought it was just like a light brown, like cream colored. I'm pattern. Like, I'm worried about their love and that kiss. I'm not like
I'm worried about their love.
Like, what is that? What is it? Jerry, I'm looking at a fucking pattern. How dare you?
I can't believe that Gale Weathers' fashion sense is about to be your downfall.
Right? Ask me about her bangs. We'll talk about that.
Well, you come back for part three. We will talk about those bangs. It'll be every single question. Whose choice was it to make her bangs fucked up?
Checkered. Final answer. I don't know.
That is incorrect.
Oh, darn.
All right, so the whore is sacrificed. Billy has died. You just have Sydney left. No abilities. Michael, what is your final guess for question number 10?
Well, I wish I would have taken a class on patterns because I really don't have anything else. So I'm just going to go with the gingham, even though I know it's wrong. And it's the only other pattern I know. And here we are.
I don't know what a gingham is. That's incorrect. Oh, my God.
Oh, Michael.
Go Weathers.
Unfortunately, you have not survived the night.
Oh, my God.
What a wonderful attempt, though. I thought you did an amazing job. I mean, you made it halfway through. I think that's amazing. So good. But, yeah, Nate and I killed a bitch. Oh, finally.
No. You know, it feels kind of, it doesn't feel as good as I thought it would be.
Nice try, though. Nice try. So yeah, thank you so much for playing this. That was fun. Awesome. And I think that I probably would have died in this evening as well. I didn't do as well as I thought I was going to. So these were great questions, Nate. Good for you.
Yes, good job, Nate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Michael, why did you choose Scream?
It's just been my favorite movie for as long as I can remember. I just remember being so excited when the movie came out, and I don't know how I convinced my parents to let me watch it four times in movie theaters, being 9 years old.
But
I was 9 years old, and I somehow convinced them with my charm. And I was so obsessed with the movie, and none of my friends could watch it because we were all too young. So I like lived in this like world of hype for so long. Then people finally saw it in high school. I'm like, oh, thank God, I can talk to people about it.
Oh, wow.
But I love the movie. I think it's so, you know, creative because it's a nice blend of, you know, horror and comedy because it has you scared, but then then there's laughs in the middle. And I just think it's, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people enjoy it.
Wow. That's so funny. You were 9 years old. My God.
Yeah. I know.
What a Christmas treat.
True. It's a Christmas movie. It's right? A Christmas miracle. Oh.
What a time.
Yeah, I thought I knew this movie better than I thought. But yeah, there's still a lot of stuff. And yeah, you didn't really have that many behind the scenes questions. So
I tried to be good. I really did.
No,
you know?
No, this is exactly what I wanted. I thought you did great. But no, I mean, Nate and I reviewed this movie and talked about it so many times. I mean, I don't think it'll never be old. It'll never be old. I will always find something so fascinating about it. I just don't think it'll go out of style. And I also look forward to the franchise continuing. I thought it was dead, to be honest, but this fifth one, insanely good. But yeah. I have a question for the two of you, though. Do you think in the first Scream, do you think that Billy and Stu planned for Billy to get caught and arrested to create the red herring? Or was that by circumstance and they just worked it out? Because I wonder if they were smart enough to really think that ahead to make sure that Billy is in jail and therefore there is a call to Sydney afterwards. I wonder if that was done on purpose or if that was something planned after the fact. What is your opinion?
Michael, what do you think?
I mean, as a viewer, I'm like, obviously they did it. You know, this is why they did it. But now I'm just like, yeah, were they smart enough?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the dropping of the phone, you know, her, you know, did Billy really want her to like not trust him? I mean, all of that just seems so out of nowhere. But that's just impeccable planning. If he wanted her to do that and that she was going to react that way, I just wonder if all that was planned.
Well, you know, I'm inclined to believe that it was planned only because they attack her that first time, or Stu attacks or whatever. And were they going to kill her then? I feel like they could have easily killed her in that moment. Because she wasn't quite like ready to deal with things yet. And they didn't. Because that would have ruined their whole finale, you know, like leading up, like they still had some more people that they wanted to kill and to have a bigger impact on her for their last monologue, whatever. So I think that they kind of, they wanted to fuck with her some more. They wanted to plant that seed where it's like he's been wrongly accused, and the whole bit where he is killed with the corn syrup and it's like, oh my God, it wasn't him. I feel so bad. You know? Yeah. I think maybe it was part of their plan. They were really fucking with her.
But this also brings me to my next question with what you just said. Stu is so excited that Sydney agreed to go to the party. You know, he's he's just happy and like, yay 90s. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. But clearly we know why he was super excited. Now, what if she decided to be an introvert and be like, peace out, I'm not going, I don't care what y'all say, I've been chased around, no thank you. What would they have done?
I mean, yeah, that's, they maybe they would have lured her, tried to had some other way to lure her to the party, or they would have just chased her around a different house.
Hey, party at Sydney's, her dad's gone.
Yeah, they maybe they would have brought the party to her. That's a good.
Yeah, because I mean, if her and Billy were like on good terms at that moment, he probably would have snuck up to her bedroom and been like, let's go to the party. And she's like, no, there's a killer. And he's like, babe, I'm here. Like, I'll protect you. And maybe she would have gone along with it. But I feel like it was so awkward at the time. She'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think, yes, it a lot of it is just, oh, it happened to work out. Stu is very excited that she agreed. So it's like, great, plan is coming together. Cool, don't have to finesse this shit.
Like, we're going to take Tatum into the garage. She's going to try to get out of the doggy door. No, she wouldn't do that. No, she just, trust me, she will. She will.
No, I mean, it's like a lot of the stuff, it's just like, oh, opportunity. Flip the switch. Oh, this garage door happens to lift her up. Huh, exciting. Didn't plan on this, but all right. Get back to the party. Yeah.
Just imagine like, behind the scenes, like Cameron Stu just like, ew. It's a very scary movie, just like, oh, this is happening? Okay.
Oh, you want to know a fun fact? I have to watch the movie again. Apparently, when after Billy is fake killed and Sydney is running through the house, she locks herself in the attic space. I guess there's like a, if you blink, you'll miss it moment. There's some sort of doll recreation of Casey Becker. So it's like, it sort of looks, I'm describing it not to the best, but so it's basically to suggest that, oh, they had some sort of plan. Like they made this little doll to plot out how they were going to kill her. So it was like, this was a little hint that Stu's the killer. You know,
and this is where in the movie?
This is in Stu's attic.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that up next time.
The attic. It's somewhere during the chase scene. Like you see this little doll. Just look for the little blonde wig. You know,
Yeah. Isn't there like a surfboard she puts like against the floor?
Yeah,
like
puts around, the surfboard.
Around that time. Yeah, look around that time, I think.
I think so. So I have to rewatch it. I'm like, you know what? And like you were saying earlier, like this movie never gets old. It's like, yeah, because every time I watch it, I do feel like I see some little weird thing that makes me chuckle. Just like, oh, one of Rob's alternate questions was, what news station does Gail work for? And apparently it's in San Francisco. And I was like, she came from San Francisco? I had no idea what city she came from.
Yeah, that question was supposed to give us a little bit more of some fun facts, because I had no idea San Francisco was involved in this movie. So
I was like, what, KCIW or whatever from San Francisco? I was like, no, surely she's from New York. I would bet my life on it and be dead. One final question. If you could save one character and swap them with another, who would it be?
Okay. I'm going to be nice. I'll save Tatum. And then someone who survives Scream 2?
Someone who survives the first Scream.
I'll swap her with Randy.
Yeah, I would sacrifice Dewey and save Steve. Steve had nothing to do with this.
Poor Steve.
give that man some dialogue, poor thing.
No.
Hilarious. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you for being on our show. I appreciate it. We'll give you a proper funeral and burial. We promise.
Throw my ashes in the fountain, please. The Woodsboro fountain. Thank you.
Oh my god. Oh, good All job. Right.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, it is time to close out with our beloved bitch, really.
Oh, really?
This bitch really isn't really targeted at a specific character. It's targeted at the townsfolk. So, one very specific moment when Sydney and Tatum are shopping for snacks that they're going to take to the party. There's a brief glimpse of Ghostface in the aisles of the store. You catch a reflection of him in the freezer section. Bitch, really? Nobody saw?
Like, can you please help me out how no one?
Like,
the only thing I can think of is that the other one had the cashier at gunpoint while the other one was roaming the aisles.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know what was going on. And this is like a full-fledged supermarket, too. It wasn't just some mini-mart where there's like two aisles and nobody shops there. Like, this didn't make no sense.
So, you know, I need some expert of the film to like make a layout of the town for me. Like, give me the map of Town Square, because those bitches, Billy and Stu, were at the video store fucking with Randy around that time. Is the video store right next to the grocery store that's next to the police station? Because Dewey's across the street. Like, how close are all of these things? But yeah, nobody else works in that store. Never mind that there aren't security cameras. I'll forget about that. It was 1996, whatever. They weren't everywhere. But nobody saw this person running around in this black silhouette. Right. I mean, I get it. We all check out at work sometimes. We're just like in the zone, but I can't believe that a stock boy didn't get stabbed for being in the wrong place.
They were not trying to involve themselves. They were like, this ain't my problem. Not even going to say nothing.
Yeah. Drive me crazy, but it's still fun.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you again, Rob, for, I don't know, being you.
This was a wonderful I cannot believe that I even failed myself, but no, this was great, and I definitely look forward to the next game. We're one for one right now. Let's keep that momentum going, and yeah,
it was the leopard print that did him in.
Oh, it was leopard.
Yeah, leopard, cheetah, whatever. I would have taken
anyone. I think I can picture it right now too. So good call. Good call. Funny.
Yeah, because it doesn't match the rest of her outfit.
Yeah.
Like, why did you pick this?
Completely forgot. No, that was a good one. All right. Well, yeah. Let us know what you guys thought of the episode and also some of these questions. Did you happen to get one of the answers that Michael did not right away? How did you think you did? Yes, definitely let us know and then come back in another 2 weeks for another round of Surviving the Night.
And we'll catch you next time on Detroit's Girl.